So as we come to 1 Kings chapter 1, we come to the final days of David. He's old and he's cold. In reading this chapter of scripture, I have come to two conclusions. One, that we all have a shelf life. We all have an expiration date. And two, that we all are witnesses to something until our dying breath. Reading about David in these verses and in the entirety of this chapter, it's plain to see that he and we are useful to God every moment we're on earth. There's no retiring from the faith. There's no ending our tour of duty for the cause of Christ. We are expected to remain faithful, reliable, and responsible to the very end. David exemplifies this commitment to consistency in his interactions with three particular people in this chapter. In verses 1 through 10, which was read for us, we have already met Abishag and Adonijah. We will also see David's interaction with Bathsheba later in the chapter. The first thing that I want us to think about is that David was committed to finishing with faithfulness. These first few verses here are culturally particular. Culturally peculiar, somewhat strange. His attendants, when he couldn't keep warm, decide, as according to verse 2, "Let us look for a young virgin to serve the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that the Lord, the king, may keep warm." So David is close to death, and as we find out from verse 1, they say, "Let's put on blankets. That'll keep him warm," but it doesn't work. David's still dying. So they resort to what was an anecdotal, cultural remedy. And I am 100% uncomfortable with this topic. And I think it's divine humor that the one day that we are live streaming, I have to talk about sexual relations from the Bible's perspective. They felt that relations with a virginal girl would take the life from that young woman and give it to the old man. Now, there are some passages that talk about nursing, and there are some Bible scholars that will say that this is sort of the picture of wet nursing an old man, which is totally gross, but they thought that might work. And if that didn't work, then relations. But the thing is, what's important to understand is that David refuses to compromise. He does not compromise his faith. As it says in the King James, "The king did not know her." Or as we have in the NIV verse 4, "The king had no intimate relations with her." They put her there. She does all the care and all the nursing, RNLPN, nursing. But he does not have relations with her. David was unwilling to do what the culture would say and what sometimes we're tempted to say. "I will do whatever is necessary to survive." And as we think about David's final days, we need to understand that we also must not blindly embrace our culture. In times of crisis, we might be tempted to say, well, let's just do what everyone else is doing. Let's just hoard those supplies, because we never know if we're going to need six gallons of hand sanitizer. We might need 85 rolls of toilet paper per person. But this goes beyond that. Goes beyond just our present day crisis. There are a lot of areas where we might say, well, if the culture says it's okay, then it's probably okay. We as followers of Christ, we as followers of the living God, can do what the culture says is okay to do. We can cohabit with benefits because it's going to enable us to save for the future or reduce expenses in our retirement. We can enjoy pornography because it's just a way that our culture reduces stress. And that's a good thing, isn't it? We must be continually asking ourselves if what we are doing is right and not simply accepted. We need to ask ourselves if we're committed to following Christ or committed to following culture. David knew his days were numbered, and he could have taken steps to maybe further his reign. But he knew that it would be a violation of what God had stated. And so he was committed to finishing with faithfulness. The second thing we see here is that David was committed to finishing with authority. David could have followed cultural peculiarities. David also could have looked the other way when his family did the things that were inappropriate. As a matter of fact, that seems to be David's parenting style up until these last days. Verse 6. His father had never interfered with him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. It's very interesting what the author of 1 Kings. First, Abishag. She was very beautiful. Not that it made any difference, but she was very beautiful. Second, Adonijah. He was one handsome lad. And David might have chosen to look the other way as he had in the past. Because just like Absalom, if we look at verses 5 through 9, just like Absalom, Adonijah did not want to wait for his father's death and wanted to become king. Just like Absalom last week, he organized his own parade, got chariots, got horses, got 50 men to run alongside, just like Absalom had. Just like Absalom, he calls the king's advisors alongside and says, "Come follow me and make me your king." But unlike Absalom, Adonijah doesn't care what his father thinks, doesn't care that his father is dying, and he says, "Let's celebrate. Let's have a huge party. Let's get all my friends together and we will celebrate my coronation. Because my dad's too old and tired and weak to care. And he's never really said anything before as a word of correction. I'm the next in line. I can become king. But David, maybe for the first time in Adonijah's life, steps up with authority. And if we look at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 28, King David said, "Call in Bathsheba." So he called him in, and then he said, "As surely as the Lord lives who delivers me, I will carry out what I swore to the Lord. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place." I'm making Solomon my king. I know what's going on down the block. I know that Adonijah's having a huge party, but I am still in charge. And it makes me think that we, even to our dying day, cannot simply accommodate to keep the peace. It's never too late to say what needs to be said. We are to share grace and truth with love. We're to offer affirmation as well as correction. God has placed us in positions of authority, and just because we're older or aged or even close to death does not dismiss or deny that calling on our lives. So whether it's in the community or in the household or in the business world, we need to finish with authority. We need to ask ourselves if we are committed to leading until God calls us home, or allowing whatever may come. And this second point is closely parallels the third point. David was committed to finishing with personal responsibility. David knew that despite the promise of God, he needed to still act obediently. And I want to read again 1 Kings 1, 28 to 30. "Then King David said, 'Call in Bathsheba.' So she came to the king's presence and stood before him. Then the king then took an oath. 'As surely as the Lord leads, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out today what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place.'" Paul Tripp, in a sermon series on David, wrote these words, or spoke these words: "God's unshakable sovereign purpose does not remove you from his call to responsibility." In other words, David was given a promise by God that there will always be an heir on the throne, that the line of David and his reign will continue forever. And David could have said, "It doesn't matter what I do. God's going to fulfill his promise. I just need to sit back and wait." And for some, that's what we think. It doesn't matter what I do, because God's going to work everything in the end. But the fact is that yes, God is going to work out everything in the end, but he is going to do it through faithful followers of his word. And so that's why David says instead of allowing Adonijah just to become king because he was next in line, he says, God has impressed upon me and I have shared with you, Bathsheba, that your son Solomon will be on the throne. And so this day I am making him king. David could have just given up and given in. But he knew that he had a part in God's purposes. And the fact is that we must not merely wait for the end. Because we cannot harvest what we don't plant. We cannot teach what we have not learned. We cannot pass on what we have not accumulated. And so we need to accept that following Christ has some personal responsibility on our part toward obedience. And we need to ask ourselves if we are committed to biblical obedience or simply biding our time. Our sermon in a sentence is this. May we be found righteous, reliable, and responsible through our final days. Did you want to move that? There we go. All right, you can move it back. May we be found righteous, reliable, and responsible through our final days. God blessed David and his line through David's commitment to faithfulness, authority, and responsibility. The plan of succession that God had purposed was carried out, and it now leads directly to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. What is true about David can be true about us as well. That our plans, our purposes, our actions, our commitment to faithfulness, our commitment to God's authority working out through us and our personal responsibility ought to lead directly to Christ. And we ought to show those around us what it looks like to finish strong. God can and will equip us to resist temptation, to lead consistently and to act responsibly, from the first moment of faith to our final breath. And we don't need to embrace the culture to do that. We don't need to accommodate for wayward individuals to accomplish that. And it won't come if we just sit and wait and do nothing, expecting God to miraculously do everything. We need people who are faithful and responsible and reliable to the very end. May we all be found to be these things every single day of our lives. Shall we pray?